When he saw the child, this baby child, Jesus, he says, my soul awakened. And my soul is still awakened even to this day. Next, we saw the question about the child being brought forth from the viewpoint of Joseph, who was a godly man. He was a righteous man. That doesn't mean that he was a perfect man, but he was a man that sought after God. And so God appeared to Joseph and spoke to Joseph. Well, the angel appeared to Joseph. See, Joseph, as it was said, was in a vicarious place. He was in love, but the love of his life was found to be pregnant. And so Joseph says, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. I'm going to divorce her quietly. But the angel came and spoke to Joseph and said, Joseph, do not be afraid, for that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. It's okay, Joseph. And so Joseph answered the call. He took Mary as his wife, but he did not know her until the child was born. Joseph took the child and, like every other father, especially in those days and time, took the child and put him on his knee and he named him. He said, you want to know what this child looked like? He said, the child looks like God. But then we also saw the question we had asked from the viewpoint of this young girl named Mary. Again, who was betrothed to be married. Understand, again, betrothal is, you know, it's deeper than our engagement. Because a betrothal is so binding that once you enter into that, literally to get out of that, you have to go through a divorce. And that's why I was saying, Joseph said, I'm going to divorce her. You know, but Mary again, who was highly favored by God. God says, Mary, I want to use you. I want to use you to bring my son into the world. To which Mary says, let it be unto me as you will. I am thy handmaiden. But then later on, she said, I saw this child that I had given birth to. I saw this child grow in wisdom and in stature. And I love the thing what she said. And he makes my soul thirsty. He makes my soul thirsty. Now, what I want you to see and what I want you to know is this. And this is important. That is that each one of those people, each one of those individuals was invited by God to be a part of that which he was doing. Invited. Not forced, not pushed, not coerced, but invited by God to be a part of that which the Lord God himself was doing. Now here's the thing that we must understand about God. God will call, God will invite, but if we say no to whatever it is that the Lord is doing, the Lord will move on. He's not going to force himself. The Bible tells us this in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, it says that many are called, but few are chosen. Who are the chosen? Those who answer the call. But here's the Lord our God, because he is merciful, because he is kind, because he's gracious, he invites us all to come into a personal relationship with him. But we have to say yes. We have to say yes. Now, I know for many people, man, that is a frightening thought. I remember myself in my BC days, my before Christ days, again, the ideal of totally surrendering myself to God. Man, that was a frightening thing. It was like, whoa, I don't know what he wants. I don't know what he's going to want me to do. And I might not want to do that, so I don't know. But I love the fact that the Bible says, that God himself says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. And see, and that's what God wants for us. God wants hope and he wants future for all of us. One of my favorite passages of scripture in the Bible is John chapter 3, verse 17, where it says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But you might be sitting here today going, saved from what? Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of your sins. For the Bible tells that there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. But again, because God is a good God, again, he doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants everybody to come into repentance. And so he made a way for us to actually become the righteousness of God. And that's through his son. That's through his son, Jesus, the gift of God, the gift of salvation. See, that's what Christmas is really all about. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's not about Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. You know, it's not about Frosty the snowman. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, and it's about the hope that Jesus brings. I don't know if you know it or not, but there are a lot of hopeless people in this world. Right now, they just did a survey just recently, and it talked about, even here in America, it was talking about how many people are so unhappy with all of the wealth, with all of the prosperity around us. We as Americans are more hopeless than we've ever been. There are so many hopeless people, and we see the hopelessness in the actions that so many people take. When you have a guy who plans and carries out a plan of taking a machine gun to Las Vegas and opening up the window and just is killing as many people as he possibly can, that's a person who doesn't have any hope. That's a person, rather, who doesn't have any hope for life. The same thing. When you have a person who actually go into an elementary school and kill as many children as you possibly can. That's a person who is without hope. But again, Jesus came to give us hope, to give us a hope and to give us a future. And here's the ultimate hope for us as Christians. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, right? In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, it says that he will wipe away all of the tears from our eyes. That there will be a new heaven and be a new earth, one in which there will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, for all of these things will be done away with. See, because understand something. When God created man, he did not bring these things into the world. He made a perfect world for perfect people and said, go forth and be fruitful and multiply in perfection. All of this sorrow, all of this heartache, all of this misery, all of this hopelessness that so many people are living with is because of death and sin. Right now, again, even during the holiday season, when so many people, again, are running around and, you know, looking forward to this celebration and that celebration, do you not know that right now, during this holiday season, more people commit suicide than any other time of the year? Why? Because of hopelessness. But Jesus brings hope. Jesus brings hope. So, that's one of the reasons why the angel, when he appeared on the day that Jesus was born, it says, I bring you good news. Good news. Good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Not some of the people, but for all of the people today. In the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And again, the angels again, just begin to rejoice. Glory to God in the highest. And man, when you understand again who Jesus is and all of the hope that he brings, again, your heart also begins to rejoice. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. And this is the million-dollar question. When you look at this child, Jesus, when you think about this baby boy that was born, who do you say that he is? See, it's not about who I say that he is. It's not about who she says that he is. It's not about, again, what he says. It's about what you say. See, it has to be personal. And to show you how important this is, one day Jesus was walking along with his disciples, and they asked him this question. He says, guys, who do men say that I am? And they begin to answer. They begin to shout out different things. Oh, some say that you are John the Baptist risen from the dead. Others say that you are Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Personal, close. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. To which Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed these things to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed these things. I said, guess what? The Father is still revealing things to us about Jesus, who is the Christ. And so the question on the floor right now is, what has God revealed to you about his Son? I'm not just talking about today and the songs and the readings and whatnot, but I know that God has been speaking to each and every one of your hearts about his Son from the day that you were born. And I know that because God's word says that God's will is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So I know, again, that God is speaking and spoken and continues to speak. I look back at my own life. And man, I can remember even being a little bitty boy. God was revealing things. I have this memory in my mind when I'm like maybe 5, 6 years old, and I'm in church with my mom, and we're taking communion. And the church I was involved in, you would come in and you have to kneel down. It wasn't a Catholic church, it was a Methodist church. You come in, kneel down, and you take the communion. And I remember getting this thought in my mind. I was like, and I asked my mom, I said, Mom, this stuff, I didn't know what it was. This stuff that we're drinking, this stuff cleans you on the inside like soap cleanses you on the outside. Is that right, Mom? She's like, that's right, son. You got it. 5, 6 years old. God was speaking. God was revealing. But like most people, I didn't want to hear. I want to do me, and I kept doing my thing. But again, because God is gracious, because God is merciful, because God is kind, because God's will is, once again, that none would perish, but all will come unto repentance, he kept speaking. He kept speaking. And finally, I said, yes. And my Bible tells me that God is not a respecter of persons. What he'll do for one, he'll do for all. And so I know again that as he spoke to me, as he drew me, as he called me, he's also doing the same thing to you. And so the question on the floor is not, has God spoken to you about his Son, but what are you doing with the gift of God's Son? Have you asked him to come into your heart and to be your Lord and to be your Savior? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? See, again, that's why Jesus came. The Bible tells us this in John chapter 3 and verse 16. It tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that means all of us, whosoever will believe, whosoever will receive, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, that's what Christmas is all about. That's the hope of Christmas. That's the joy of Christmas. That's the peace of Christmas. And so again, I want to know, what have you done with God's Son? What have you done with the gift? Have you received the gift? Have you opened the gift? Because sometimes people receive a gift and put the gift aside. They take it and put it on the shelf, and I'll open that on another day. Oh, I want to wait to the right time and the right opportunity to open this. And meanwhile, the gift, the wonder of the gift gets lost. This world that we're living in right now, again, is doing everything it can to lose the real meaning of Christmas. I mean, again, Rudolph, Santa Claus, you know, all kind of things, but anything to cover up the real meaning of Christmas. It's such a blessing to me to watch the news and, you know, to listen to the president and so many other people say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas be unto you. So because again, when somebody is saying happy holidays, they're trying not to offend, but by them not trying to offend, they're covering over the real meaning of Christmas. I was sharing with the first service how that, for those of you who lived up north, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's wintertime, and when it's wintertime and it's, 10 degrees outside with a wind chill factor of 10 below, man, you put on your heaviest coat. And if it's New Year's Eve or if it's Christmas Eve or whatever, you're still going out. You're still going to have fun and you're going to celebrate. And so you might be going to somebody's house. And when you go to somebody's house, you know, there's always a room that's designated for the coats. And what am I supposed to do with my coat? Take it, just throw it in the bed over there. So everybody walks in the door, they take off their coat, they throw it in the room, throw it on the bed, and go out and do what you have to do, party, hang out, have fun. Now, here's the thing. Imagine you having a newborn baby. And you tell everybody when you go up the hallway, it's the bedroom on the left, take your coat off, throw the bed, you know, the coat on the bed on the left. But instead they forget and they go in and they take off their coat and they throw it on the bed on the right. And your baby's on that bed. And coat after coat after coat after coat comes upon the child. Man, it can actually suffocate the child and kill the child. And that's what this world is trying to do with the real meaning of Christmas, with the hope of Christ. And so today, again, I just want to present to you again the hope of Christmas. And I love the fact that the Bible says that he whose hope is in the Lord shall not be disappointed. That doesn't mean that everything's going to go perfect in your world. That doesn't mean that you're going to be not disappointed about this or not disappointed about that. But what it means is this. By the time that God gets finished doing what he's going to do, you won't be disappointed. I guarantee when we get to the new heavens and the new earth, one of which there's no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, I guarantee you won't be going, man, I had more fun on earth. No, you won't be disappointed. And isn't it amazing that somebody like him can love somebody like us? While we were yet dead in the trespasses of our sins, he sent Jesus. That invitation that he gave to the shepherd to come and see, that invitation that he gave to Joseph to be a part, and also to Mary, that invitation is also extended to each and every one of you today. So if you have not received Christ as your Savior, now is the acceptable time of the Lord. Today is a day of salvation. Maybe you, again, you've had the gift, but you haven't opened it. Let me recommend that you do that today. Because again, this will be the best day of your life. Best day of your life. So, on that note, who do you say that he is?